From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
A music group now banned from performing at the DuQuoin State Fair because of its name. The band Confederate Railroad, which uses a Confederate flag in its logo, was scheduled to play August 27th.
We're talking about a band that has as its emblem the Confederate flag. The Confederate flag is a symbol of not just slavery, but of treason against the United States. It's also a symbol of murder, of kidnapping, of rape. That's what happened under the banner of the Confederate flag many years ago in this country. It is today a symbol of racists, of white nationalists, of the alt-right. And so I do not think that the state of Illinois should be sponsoring something that is amplifying that symbol. So that is why we took the action that we did.
We're not going to propose any tax that's going to be regressive, and it's going to fall on the backs of those who are least able to manage that burden. So I don't want to get into, is it going to include this, and this, because we're still looking at those at this point.
Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, she's considering a service tax for her city. We'll hear more about that discussion. And also Governor J.B. Pritzker in there. He is talking about a controversy that has overshadowed the upcoming state fairs, actually both of them. One of them has some people calling for a boycott, and we'll discuss that and more coming up on State Week. In Springfield, I'm Sean Crawford. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Also with us in our State House studio is Brian Mackey, Illinois Public Radio's State House editor. And joining us today from Chicago, Amanda Vinicky with WTTW's Chicago Tonight. And Amanda, it's always good to have you back.
I always love coming back.
Brian, I'll start with you, though. The governor, this controversy has cropped up here over the DuQuoin State Fair and a band that was set to play, a band called Confederate Railroad. We heard a little bit about that at the beginning, a band that uses the Confederate name, and also some of its logos also have the Confederate flag in it. Governor Pritzker, his administration, pulling the plug on this show, saying that, okay, we've signed them to play the fair grandstand down there, and now we're not. And this has really developed into something that a lot of people are talking about.
It has. And this is, you know, Illinois sort of dodged the national conversation a few years ago about Confederate memorials and Confederate monuments. Obviously, is the home of Abraham Lincoln and a strong Union state. I think I was doing a little research on this. Illinois was number 4 in the number of men that we sent to fight in the Civil War, something 250,000, I think. And so, you know, we did not have monuments to the Confederacy in Illinois, at least not significant ones. And so we were not part of that national conversation. But someone in the Department of Agriculture decided to sign the band Confederate Railroad. I think if you did not have the sort of If you weren't thinking about this issue in a way that's sensitive to 2019 sensibilities, you can understand it's a popular band. It's been around since the early 1990s. From all reporting, I'm not a listener myself of the band, but from all reporting I've seen, they do not have racist lyrics or anything like that, but they do have this symbol. And Governor Pritzker has made a big point about the inclusivity and the respect for racial and other differences in his campaign, in his administration that he's put together. And so I don't think it's that surprising that when you have a band with that name in the land of Lincoln, that is going to raise some eyebrows. And so they made this decision. There are people down in that part of the state who are upset about it, as you would expect. So this is, you know, perhaps yet another area where you have this cultural divide where, you know, even though the flag of the Confederacy was a flag of treason, it was a flag of, you know, defending states that wanted to preserve slavery. It is something that, you know, people do sort of try to ignore that history and say that, oh, this is just Southern heritage. But Governor Pritzker is not having that. And so he asserted himself and canceled that concert.
Charlie, some people are saying this is censorship, that that just like the rapper Snoop Dogg, who was expected to play at the state fair here in Springfield, has some controversial imagery out there and also lyrics at times, misogynistic at times. That, you know, this is what artists, you know, they should be able to have these types of freedoms out there, and that the governor is stepping on that.
Well, I look at the Confederate flag as being a symbol of something that is absolutely reprehensible. You have this mythology that's built up about the old South and the plantations and the bells and all of that stuff, that nostalgic stuff. The reality of it was a system that was predicated on the notion that folks like all of us on the program who have lighter pigmentation are inherently superior to folks who might have darker pigmentation. And that is just anathema to the idea of what this country is about. And that's what the war was fought. And I think anybody who uses that simple, in my mind, it would be like me starting a band and calling it Mein Kampf and using swastikas in my logo. It's just, I just find it very disgusting. And I understand people have this myth about what the South was like. But I think what the governor said in our opening cut was exactly true. That flag stood for a lot of things that are totally contrary to what the United States of America and our flag stands for.
And Amanda, you covered the governor when he made those comments this week. He didn't back down from that decision.
Certainly not. What I find interesting about it was that he made those comments at a press conference in Chicago. I would be willing to venture that there are many people in the city of Chicago that have never heard of DuCoin, let alone are they aware that there was going to be a concert there and that a band called Confederate Railroad was going to be performing. But this most certainly, I think, would have become a bigger political issue for the governor had he made a different decision. That is despite actually your former paper, Charlie, the Chicago Sun-Times publishing an editorial. You know, in a sense, considering this free speech, again, there's been comparisons to, okay, as you noted, Sean, Snoop Dogg is performing. Some of his lyrics are quite controversial. There are those who are upset that his latest album, evidently, I have to say, I've been to a Snoop Dogg concert. I haven't seen his album cover, but it involves a dead President Trump. And so people are very offended. So I think really the point here is what Brian had made in terms of we have very much a cultural divide in Illinois, and it has become a politically thorny issue for Governor Pritzker, be it his earnest beliefs and or a political calculation. It is one where he believes that the right choice for him, and I would have to say that matches with, as Brian said, everything that he has done in his administration that he espoused to do as a candidate, that matches with that and with really his constituency, the Democrats that put him into office. It would be very upset, I think. Probably, again, not only not knowing about DuCoin, but probably many hadn't heard even of a band called Confederate Railroad. But once this became an issue, he swiftly dealt with it, and this will all fade fairly soon.
Well, the governor is expected to go to DuCoin, and Charlie, you know, do you expect that he's going to be received warmly after this whole controversy? He is expected to be there to probably cut the ribbon and do the things that the governors usually do.
Oh, I'd be surprised if there weren't protests. I mean, some people have said that they're calling for a boycott of the DuCoin fair. And in my mind, that's really self-defeating, because if people decide we're not going to go to the fair, who gets harmed by that? It's not going to affect J.B. Pritzker. The impact on the state of Illinois, lost sales tax revenues, will be minimal. The people who are going to be hurt are the merchants, the vendors, the folks who will be there selling hot dogs and popcorn on the fairgrounds. So it's going to be a self-inflicted wound. So to me, that is not very smart at all. Yeah, Pritzker will have protests, but I'm sure there are also people in southern Illinois who would agree with the point that, yeah, this Confederate flag stood for a system of human bondage. Unlike a performer like Snoop Dogg, who does a stupid album cover, political satire, which is his right, the Confederate flag goes well beyond that in my mind. And as I alluded to earlier, in my mind, it's tantamount to the swastikas from Nazi Germany.
You know, something that I'll be watching in general, as you noted, there's calls for this boycott. Presumably, people will be angry. There may be a protest. But in general, how beloved will Pritzker be downstate, particularly as time goes on and some of the measures that he has passed will, at least when you hear from business owners downstate, really talking about the minimum wage increase. Will he be beloved for that by those minimum wage workers that very much appreciate it? Or is this, again, a sign that he has talked about a downstate revitalization plan and trying to do more there? But I'm not sure that we have really seen a lot of that, aside from, of course, the infrastructure plan that he signed into law that will bring projects to all of downstate, and that, of course, includes a casino in the Walker's Bluff project, but in development. But I could see yet again this becoming, I think it's difficult for a statewide position to please all entities, and that could increasingly become an issue for the governor going forward.
Brian, before we move on from this topic, I just want to touch on the state fairs a little bit. You know, you've covered them. People may not realize you covered the entertainment beat for a little while. And what does it mean to have this type of controversy for, you know, any of the state fairs, either one of them?
Well, I think for this one, as Amanda said, I don't think the DuQuoin State Fair is on the tip of people's tongues, much north of Interstate 74 here in central Illinois, and definitely not in Chicagoland. So it does raise the profile. People know there's a fair there. And if there is a boycott or a protest, I guess that does harm the economy of southern Illinois. I've got to imagine, though, that when the rubber meets the road, as long as the weather's good, there are still other bands performing on different nights of the fair, that this is probably not something that's going to be that, I don't know. I would be surprised if there was a huge drop in attendance off of this. I think that these entertainment acts, you know, the if you are playing a state fair, no offense, to country bands, that is a fairly big thing. To music from other genres, and I guess rock, classic rock acts too. But, you know, the fact that Snoop Dogg, somebody I saw, a friend of mine texted me, you know, anyone arguing about how relevant Snoop Dogg is, just look at the fact that he is playing the Illinois State Fair, and that tells you something about where he is in the music industry these days. This is not, you know, considered the major concert venue, at least for sort of mainstream pop acts, that it maybe was in the past. I don't know. But, you know, certainly for country music, it's a big deal. And this is something that it does draw a lot of people out. But, you know, like I said, I think that, you know, sometimes you hear this, these critiques, this sort of protest. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition when people are making those decisions the week of the fair.
And
years ago, the DuQuoin State Fair was a much bigger deal. And at one time, it was the home of the Hambletonian, which is one of the foremost harness races in the nation. And that moved out, and the fair was in danger of just being totally closed when the state came in and bought it from its private operators. I think that happened under Jim Thompson. Uh-huh. And so we pumped a lot of effort, a lot of money into keeping the thing going for a boost to the economy of southern Illinois.
And just if I can extend my remarks from earlier, I want to be clear. You know, for country, I have seen some great country acts at the state fair. I've seen a few good pop acts, but I have seen some really terrible shows at the state fair, too. And I think, Amanda, you were there as well when MC Hammer was playing at the state fair. And, you know, at that point in his career, I mean, a lot of it, he was just kind of standing off to the side and had gathered dozens and dozens of audience members on stage to do the show for him. It was one of the least entertaining entertainment events I've been to in my entire life.
Unless you were on stage, in which case it was fun.
If you say so.
And Amanda, were you?
I might have been, Charlie. I might have been boogieing up there, and that was a pretty great experience. I was just going to say, it's funny to me. I mean, this is yet another band controversy in still the first year of the Pritzker administration. You had the controversy of who was going to be performing the surprise performance at his inauguration, and then not knowing, of course, how much he paid to bring in Maroon 5 that ended up being this band for the Super Bowl halftime show that year. And then again, the governor not saying how much he personally paid to bring George Clinton to a birthday party for Secretary of State Jesse White in the waning days of session before there was a deal. And of course, session ending up going into overtime. So yet again, another one, this time Confederate Railroad, certainly not paid for out of pocket by Pritzker himself, but by the state. And I do believe that Illinois is going to have to pay a cancellation fee that, again, in the grand scheme of things, is not much money, of course, to the state of Illinois. But yet another band controversy for the governor.
Amanda, let's move on to the topic of Lori Lightfoot and some of the discussion she is having right now about adding a service tax in the city, at least considering that idea. What's the latest on that?
Well, so she apparently had a meeting with the governor and tried to make some pretty big asks. And obviously, these are private discussions that we're not privy to what all was said, but apparently was really trying to get the state to help take on some of the cost for Chicago's pensions, which are a huge expense, of course, for many cities, but because Chicago is so much larger, the expense is that much greater. And the governor having to come out and emphatically say, no, again, this was actually the early July that that came about. This discussion apparently then evolved into opportunities to pay for those pensions, and the suggestion that a service tax might be part of that. There was also a suggestion about a retirement tax. That's something that former Mayor Rahm Emanuel had said should be done, a tax on retirement to pay for pensions. The Mayor Lori Lightfoot has not completely nixed that idea, but she did get more into detail on this notion of a service tax and saying that she would, she's a former attorney at a big law firm. She said, you know, I'm thinking about things like that. I don't want it to be anything that would be considered, quote, regressive, which is messaging that fits with Governor Pritzker's message as well. But it's unclear as to, at this point, would this just be a service tax in the city of Chicago? But again, there are so many municipalities that have that massive pension debt. Could that be something that, if there is any sort of will and way in the legislature, could be expanded elsewhere? I just think it's some difficult decisions, of course, because already everybody knows that you're paying more for gas, that there is an increased tax on cigarettes. There is, of course, the graduated tax discussion. And yet another tax discussion could really hurt, I think, the governor as he tries to campaign for that constitutional amendment. So, whew, there's a whole lot of big financial troubles and no clear answers, as we all know.
Hey, Amanda, quick question. Did anyone ask Lightfoot whether she would consider doing it unilaterally using Chicago's home rule powers?
No, I think the expectation had been that she would go to the state. And frankly, she was not all that willing to get into detail. There was an initial press availability where she seemed to be frankly assessing, well, you know, this is something we're considering. It's not soup yet. And then by the next day had very much clamped down and said, we're going to be come forward with a plan. She has not quite said what exactly she believes the deficit for her first budget year in the city of Chicago will be yet, and continues to say that she'll be out with plans soon and some sort of comprehensive, you know, financial proposal. But also, she had a meeting with a bunch of community leaders this week in which she asked for it. So it really echoed some of the things that we've heard from Illinois governors in the recent past, and that is that things are in such dire straits, it's not going to be repaired in 1 year, and she asked for patience.
Brian, this has come up before, the idea of a service tax in the state of Illinois. It hasn't occurred at this point, but as Amanda mentioned, it could be something that some of these cities might get behind. At the same time, I can't imagine that Governor Pritzker wants to do anything that could jeopardize that constitutional amendment that'll be on the ballot next fall. So maybe this is something that is, you know, a couple of years down the road.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we've heard for a long time now. Governor Rauner proposed a very narrow range of service tax increases when he was in office. Those didn't go anywhere in the legislature, though, because, well, obviously people are fairly reluctant about creating new taxes. Although I think that we have seen that maybe a dam begin to break on that this year, whether that is a sort of a one-year thing where they do the graduated income tax and pass rates for that and raise the gas tax and index that to inflation. We'll just have to wait and see whether that signifies a sort of a change and a willingness to reexamine the tax structure in Illinois. But, you know, the sales tax is one of the more regressive taxes we have. It's not, you know, whether you're a very wealthy person or somebody of more modest means, you're paying the same tax rate on your whatever you're buying. So that, you know, I can't imagine you'd include progressivity in the rates, but by choosing what you tax, you know, in Amanda's story, I thought it was interesting. She listed off based on a report from the legislature's nonpartisan budget forecasting arm, you know, some of the things that other states around us tax, you know, whether it, and some of that can be very sort of 1% things like private plane storage and things like that. Turkish baths, I thought was an interesting one.
Me too.
You know, so it's really what you choose to tax that, you know, you can get some, you know, if you're going to do yacht storage and private airplane maintenance, then, you know, maybe you don't get as much money, but that also doesn't hurt people far down the income spectrum. If you were going to start taxing everything from haircuts to lawn mowing services, well, then you're taking a bite further down the economic spectrum. And you know, there would be a lot of opposition to this. I think Lightfoot had talked about law firms as one thing that could be something where you'd impose a tax. And that is a very well-organized lobbying group and would certainly, and there are others that would oppose those sorts of grabs into their profits.
Well, the legislation that's been proposed in the past didn't cover professional services as much as it did, what would you say, like individual services, as you said, Brian, like haircuts or lawn mows or getting a massage at the spa or those kinds of things, as opposed to, I think the bill that was part of the grand bargain a couple of years ago excluded things like medical care, so there wouldn't be a service tax on doctors, excluded attorneys, excluded the kind of services, accounting services that one business might need, those kinds of things to try and, I guess, mitigate its impact on the economy, while at the same time not wanting to tick off groups that are very organized. As we all know, the Illinois State Medical Society or the Bar Association are a lot more formidable foe in the legislature than your neighborhood barbershop.
Brian, yeah, and I wanted to just add here, I wanted to look this up so I was sure to be accurate about it. I thought this was the case, but I had done a story at the beginning of the year when Governor Pritzker was taking office, just kind of going back through his campaign, through the debates, finding his positions on these issues. And during a debate, they did one of those things, raise your hand if you are in favor of. And one of them was expanding the sales tax to cover services. And Governor Pritzker kept his hand down for that. So that is at least one indication that he was opposed to that. Of course, I also have here that in a debate, he kept his hand down for not raising the gas tax. And we know that just went up. So maybe this is something he'd be flexible on, although I don't know.
No, you're right, Brian. I think that's something that actually went under the radar. I mean, not only did he keep his hand down, but he was asked about it fairly frequently on the campaign trail and seemed to say no to a gas tax. He was certainly very careful on anything and everything he said during that campaign, and it worked. He won. But there was so much that happened still at the end of session and with those major bills that it didn't get a lot of scrutiny. I'm not sure that would be the case should he change his mind on a service tax. Of course, this comes as there's yet another task force that's supposed to talk about property taxes, and that's some of what, when you talk to individuals or, you know, groups that are really in on this about the notion of a service tax, one of the aspects is they say, you know, we need to do a complete overhaul of the tax situation in Illinois before we get into any of that. And again, when you have this graduated income tax constitutional amendment discussion occurring, not sure there's the political will or energy for anything along those lines.
Well, and the fact of the matter is all of our neighboring states tax a lot more services than we do. We're one of the, of all the states in the union, we're one that taxes the fewest services. We only do about a dozen or so. Our neighbors do a lot more. I think Iowa, and I'm going off my memory, so this might not be totally accurate, Iowa taxes several dozen. And there's some states that tax up near 100 of different kinds of services. So that's one area where we are an outlier.
course, according to my favorite Chicago TV news reporter, Iowa's service taxes include Turkish baths. So some of those are less common than others.
Just about 30 seconds left here, Amanda. So at this point, are we just kind of waiting and watching to hear more? Is there some target date coming up where we might hear more on this issue?
I don't have any target date, unfortunately, Sean. Lots of questions for the new mayor when it comes to her financial plans and no answers yet.
Okay. Let's go now to our notes from the field. And Charlie, let's go ahead and start with you.
Okay. Well, the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability, which is the General Assembly's financial gurus, reported that when we closed the books on revenue collections for the most recent fiscal year, which just ended on June 30th, fiscal 2019, our general funds finished more than $800 million higher than the year before. The income tax was net of $1.5 billion increase. Sales tax were up more than $600 million. And so that gave us some room as we, and part of it was the big jump that we got in April, which gave more flexibility in putting together the budget for the current fiscal year, FY20.
And Brian?
Yeah, there was a person from sort of my past. We didn't really overlap. I attended a high school in the south suburbs of Chicago called Marian Catholic. There is a woman who is a nun who is on the faculty there now, Sister Mary Jo, she's known as. She's only 7 or 8 years older than I am, so we did not overlap, like I said. But she gained notoriety last year for a viral moment when she threw out a pitch, first pitch at the White Sox game. Turns out she's got some heat. She's got a neat little move where she can bounce the ball off her bicep and then catch it, delivered it nicely over the plate. It went viral. TV news picked up on it all over the country. So this got her a nomination for an ESPY Award for Best Viral Sports Moment. She went out to California for the award ceremony. Unfortunately, did not win, but still an interesting story from Illinois. And if you haven't, if you have somehow escaped seeing this video, it's pretty fun to watch. If you just Google nun first pitch White Sox, I'm sure it'll pop right up.
And Amanda.
I am going to cheat here with two. I'd done a story earlier this week on already some missed deadlines for a really aggressive schedule that was laid out in one of the sources of funding all of those construction projects, and that is the gambling expansion. But just on Friday morning, the Illinois Gaming Board did announce what, I don't know, Charlie, is this a record for procurement in Illinois? They were supposed to have it done by Monday, only 10 days after the legislation was signed, and now a firm has been awarded a contract to study the feasibility of a Chicago casino. That is something that only the Chicago casino needs to have done, not the other casinos that will be coming on board in the state of Illinois. And the second one, there's been a lot of attention, you know, nationwide even, on an alligator. Maybe it's a crocodile that is swimming around a lagoon in a park, Humboldt Park, in the city of Chicago, that has just, like I said, attracted a ton of attention. People are spending their days watching it. There are bands. Somebody's passing out gator sticks. And there was a naming contest in this case. It went to, I think, in a way, Chance the Rapper. People want to dub this alligator, which still has not been rescued from the lagoon, Chance the Snapper.
And that will do it for this week. You can get a podcast of our show at nprillinois.org. Production assistance for the program today was provided by Bob Meyer. I want to thank our guests, Charlie Wheeler, Brian Mackey, and Amanda Vinicky. I'm Sean Crawford.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capitol by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.